this. Chemicals in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive. What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell, and we are from Dogs HQ, Georgia. 48-3 winners over Tennessee Tech. Golden Eagles, one of the best tackling FCS teams I think I've ever seen. So good at getting to Georgia on the ground. Now that I went back and watched that game, a lot of going to sound like Kirby here. A lot of respect for them, Rusty. But we're going to talk about that game, kind of put it to bed, and then we're going to also talk about kind of the young players that saw action in that game. 23 true freshmen played against Tennessee Tech and a lot of other guys. And then we're also going to get that really impressive, if you think about it, for a Tennessee Tech and FCS opponent, Georgia's visitor list this weekend, Rusty, and maybe some stuff that kind of might be going on, behind the scenes there, and some stuff we'll probably talk about on Dogs HQ Plus later this week. But Rusty, let's talk about this game, man. I think it was your first time, it was our first time getting a look at Georgia inside Sanford Stadium. I thought one of my biggest takeaways from this, and I wanted to get your take, the fast start kind of masked how Georgia didn't really play great. They played good. They played good enough to pull away and win and coast. Yeah. But I thought that Georgia's still kind of reaching for that best ball game right now.
Yeah, obviously, week two, I don't know that you won't see a few plays here and there. It was Tennessee Tech. A team that I'm certain that Kirby Smart used that tape from Middle Tennessee State last week. I mean, they were leading Middle Tennessee State in the fourth quarter. So you look at that and say, listen, this is a team that played another team. It gives teams fits every year. It seems like MTSU gives somebody fits at some point every year. And Tennessee Tech was up on them in the fourth quarter last week, and they had to come back and beat them, last minute or two. So I'm sure they used that all week with their focus and that type of thing. But you get through a game like that. I think they, missed a few throws here, but we can sugarcoat it all you want. They knew they wouldn't handle business. They were, this is a game you kind of handle and you move on and get to the meat of the schedule, which is coming up. But I'll tell you, the biggest takeaway for me, man, was the crowd. It was kind of a right at game time arriving tight crowd. 2 o'clock's a pretty good start. It gives you time to get parked, and I was kind of in the tailgate scene for a little while yesterday, and it was pretty, people were out and about and pretty popping, and that's the only September home game, so you figure the next five games will be a lot cooler weather, should be cooler, and I would imagine we'll get a couple night games out of this at minimum. And I thumbs up for the crowd, man. I thought the crowd was really good yesterday. It hung around for a good bit, to be honest with you.
Please. It was a pretty good crowd, man. It really was. Yeah. And the thing that it was an early leaving crowd too. Now, I mean, it was the hottest day of the week. Supposed to be nice and cool. It was all nice and cool all week, hottest day of the week. Yeah. They did a nice job, though, kind of, getting into that game, having some energy, yelling for Claude Felton there at the beginning of it. All of that was nice. It was good to see Claude get his flowers there, and he came up to the press box. We actually got a chance to cheer in the press box whenever Claude was up there. We gave him a little standing ovation.
What do you think about the new press box?
It's clean.
You're leaving one of the best media seats in the history of sports, and that those days are done. You got many years. You've said that before. I did too. You got many years of the best view of a powerhouse football team. Those days are done. But I was interested in how you thought the new press box would look and how it kind of flowed and what you kind of thought of it.
No, it's got a lot of room up there, man. It's a master class on how to use space. Real clean, real nice. They treat the media pretty good up there. It's just a bad angle, and we're a long way away from the action, man. I watched a lot of it on the television. That's just the way it ended up working out for me. But it was fun. It really was. It was kind of you go to different places around the SEC and all the places that have redone their press boxes, like Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama. It's on par with those, where it's, I can go on and on, but nobody wants to hear about it.
I'll say this, and I'll be interested in the comments tonight and interested in the comments on YouTube later in the week. I think what Georgia is doing with their stadium, I love the expanded concession areas. I love the food courts. I love the expanded menu, if you want to take in and enjoy some hydration. The one thing they have got to figure out, and I've been all over the freaking United States. I've sat in building. They got to figure that Wi-Fi out. I mean, that Thomas, gonna be honest with you now, that the people leave because they don't have Wi-Fi, and it's hard to get. Yesterday I was not in the media area. So when you're in the media area, you got Wi-Fi and they take care of it. When you're not, most of the time, but when you're not in there, you know, I was with a group of people that are big time Georgia people, and they would have to leave that area to go to their designated area to text a family member, try to get a text through. So you know, I know Georgia's aware of that, but you got to get that figured out. That's one of the, you know, small complaints, but that is a deal. That is a deal to where I have read, other schools where they were saying they're trying to keep their students at games and they're trying to check their phone, trying to check scores, trying to whatever. You got to get that figured out. But I do love what they're doing around the state. I think they're taking some really good improvements, and it flows a lot better there. And I know they're limited in some of those hallways. That's always been the concession area has always been a kind of a thing that they're aware of. But you know, that's the one thing I think Georgia left. It's got to figure out. They got to figure out how to get the signal in there, Wi-Fi, so people can be on that and check and commercials and whatever. But being able to communicate at a game is a big deal.
Yeah, but no better time to talk about that than coming off of Georgia Tennessee Tech. And honestly, we're going to get into Kentucky later on as the week it goes on too. That was god awful on Saturday for them. We actually talked to Nick Roush on Roos and Row earlier today with our radio show on the Superstations, and we asked him, "Hey Nick, how you doing?" And he said, "I've been better, guys. I've been better." So they had taken that pretty hard up there. But Rusty, I wanted to talk with you kind of about the game on Saturday. And you get a lot of freshmen some work. You know, 23 freshmen saw significant action. Did any of those guys jump off the page to you at all?
And again, I haven't been able to see the replay. I watched every minute of that game. I stayed until probably minute and a half left, and I watched it all. I'll have to go back and look. The biggest thing I think, Jake, and you've been a coach before, I think the biggest thing you take away from something like this is Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann and Mike Bobo now get to see these kids in live tape. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. You're out there and you don't have four GAs standing behind you, and you don't have a coach that's going to say, "Hey, you're lined up wrong. Hold on." You know, this is live rounds here. You want to see what's going on in this game. And when you start, you get that footprint, you kind of get that, that sample size of these young kids. From the view I had yesterday watching KJ Bolden on that early blitz, man, I know he can fly. I've covered him since he's ninth grade. But you want to talk about something, Jake, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, why would you show that against Tennessee Tech? Well, the reason you show that is because now everybody has to prepare for that. It's almost like a two-point play. Everybody has to be ready for KJ Bolden now in that scenario and where he can go. But, I thought that he played good. You're going to have more on that. I thought 99 played good. Joseph Jonah Ajanye, if I got his name right, I want to butcher it up. I thought he played well too. Just kind of what he did. And Sakovi White showed that, what I call, one of my favorite words is short area suddenness. You know, he caught a little tunnel screen there, a little bubble, and got upfield north and south, and kind of showed how explosive he can be. So I know you're going to go more into that, but I was impressed with those guys.
Yeah, Joseph Jonah Ajanye, for a guy that didn't show up on the stat sheet with a tackle or anything, I thought was so – it was all around the football all game long. KJ Bolden, hands, man. Talked about that safety. You talked about the safety blitz where he came on that play. He actually got shook up at one point and then came back into the game, which was a promising sign. Got a good long look at Quentin Johnson, who I think is probably still dealing with the speed of the game a little bit. I saw him kind of lose the edge, kind of came up and struck a guy, hit a blocker and kind of stood him up, but didn't really find the football until it had gotten past him. Rusty, man, I swear, one of the most fascinating things to me that I'm going to be following, it's kind of a game inside the game for me the next 5 years, is who's going to be better? Is it going to be this tandem of Raylan Wilson and CJ Allen, or is it going to be this tandem of Chris Cole and Justin Williams? Because they are super freaks, man. They are absolute super freaks. And I noted this in the rewatch over at Dogs HQ today. I tell you, one of the most freaky things that I look at on a that I've seen this season is looking at number 10 for Georgia, Damon Wilson, 6'3", 250-pound edge rusher, and number 29, Gabe Harris, running side-by-side on kickoff return. On kickoff team, 6'4", 265 pounds. Georgia just I tell you, man, they have a culture of special teams at Georgia where they play the studs on special. Dominic Lovett covering punts. Mm-hmm. That's something that the buy-in is really impressive there. And I'm sure they do it at other schools. I'm not trying to say Georgia's the only one that does it. I'm sure there's some other schools that do it. But, I mean, you got senior wideouts, probably your number one top weapon covering punts. You got these two guys that you rely on defensively along the defensive line, along the defensive front where you're kind of short right now. And you just – listen, there's a job that needs doing, and Kirby wants the best guy to do that job.
Georgia has a coaching clinic in the spring, and they have like 1,000 high school coaches. They come in on Thursday, watch practice Thursday, they watch practice Friday, and then they watch a scrimmage on Saturday morning. I had a guy tell me that they were doing special teams. This is spring too now. They were doing special teams, and there was a gunner, which is the guy on the far end there in a special teams play. And Kirby walked over and he grabbed the kid by the jersey and said, if you do this in the NFL, if you can make a 53-man roster, here's what the average pay of this position is. This is what these guys are making. So if you want to play your ass off and you want to show me you can do this and you make in the NFL, you don't have to start. And this is what you could still make. So I thought that was a fascinating way of getting somebody's attention. Like, this isn't, we're not sitting you over here because we're just trying to save play for somebody else. We're putting you over here, and if you show on tape you can do this, you can play in NFL. And I thought that was a great way to kind of describe. And Kirby had the actual financial number, which I thought was, he doesn't miss a beat, man. But something like that was really kind of fascinating to me, how he, how you talked about that special teams culture. Well, that's how Kirby Smart's talking to these guys. If you show me you can do this, they'll find a way for you to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and that special teams culture has come through in two games, in both games. I mean, the way Georgia's covered kicks, they found a way to get one going. I'll tell you what, man, Anthony Evans has some stones on him, dude. Like, he just does not care the way he flies up and catches the football. You know, it's funny. I actually thought he might have been a little bit reckless for Tennessee Tech, almost like maybe he heard from Uncle Doug the night before the game, and Uncle Doug thought he was like, "Hey, don't you fair catch that ball against them boys.
Somebody take your job. You don't,
yeah, fair, don't, catch, don't that fair ball. Catch that ball against them boys. You need to house one, right?" And so he kind of got jazzed up, got gassed up by his uncle for that game or something like that. But I thought he was a little bit reckless with it. But man, Kirby hit the nail on the head. And I know this is just scintillating live show talk whenever you start talking about saving yardage by coming up and catching a punt. But dude, I am telling you that's the margins. Those types of games where you fly up 30 yards to field a short punt and that thing doesn't kick and you lose 25, 30 yards of field position while you letting it come to you. That's big stuff. And Anthony Evans has kind of shown me something there. And the way George is covering stuff, the way Brett Thorson's kicking, the way Peyton Woodring's kicking it. That's been one part that I think may have been lost on a lot of fans this early season, and bringing it back to the young dogs, they're playing such a big role in it, Rusty, that Georgia's been dominant in that phase of the game. And I think it's something that can continue because of the emphasis they put on it and because of the really good players they use.
You got to put something on tape, man. You got to show, Georgia's in a really good situation, kind of with a competition driven. Like, you have got to put something on tape if you want us to trust to put you in the game, that you're better than the other kid, that's the other two guys that are highly recruited, that are really good athletes. We can gush over things like that, but being at Georgia, that's one of the things you should be spoiled and kind of appreciate, is that special teams is a massive competition to get on the field at Georgia. This is not players that we just can't find another role for you. If you're starting special teams at Georgia, then you freaking got something to you. And at some point, you're going to either contribute now or you're going to contribute later because they have trust in you. But that's a big deal, man. That's a big deal to be able to do that. And I was told Kirby Smart works extensively with a punt returner. So that is kind of his baby. He stays on those guys. He coaches them up. So Kobe White's another guy. I expect to see some returns out of him at some point this year. So, you know, that's just starts at the top, man. Three phases of the game. Offense, defense, and special teams, and, you know, it's not overshadowed at Georgia. It's a big deal.
And listen, low man in the NFL still gets to make a lot of money, and low man in the NFL can keep a spot in the NFL by playing special teams. They definitely want, you know, special teams, you know, studs. And we've seen guys make absolute careers out of it. We also have this GameTime.co. Game Time, folks, listen. This is the premier, in my opinion, aftermarket ticket market. It is the best out there. I love it. I know everybody I know who has used it loves it. We had a couple of testimonials on the board of folks that have used this app, that have used this website, and they were super excited about it. I almost pulled the trigger on some Shane Gillis tickets this weekend. He was over at Gas South. I did not do it because it was going to be rushing getting him after the game. But as you can see, there are plenty of Georgia-Kentucky tickets available on that secondary market. And this GameTime.co is the place to get them. Folks, it is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all things sports, for all things comedy, music, and theater. GameTime believes that the impromptu moments in life lead to incredible shared experiences. So they built a ticket marketplace that makes it faster and easier for you to get your favorite events at a moment's notice. The last second ticket deals with this site with Game Time are incredible. I mean, you can find them, you can download them. It goes super quick. They specialize in it, and you need to go check them out. For now, for the time being, terms apply here. But for right now, you can download the app and you can put it in the promo code on three, and you can get $20 off your first order. I think it has to be above a certain amount, like $120 bucks. But yeah, that can you can get $20 off of your first order with GameTime.co.
Sounds like your dog going to get involved on that.
We cover the dogs. We got them in our house.
Shout out my buddy Chad T. Won't give his whole name. My good buddy Chad T, who supports all of us and all of our adventures and watches this. He hit me up this week. He goes, "Hey, man, what's that site Jake Rowe always talks about? I'm trying to buy some tickets." So he hits you with it. Can I put you on the spot? And we didn't talk about, could you pull up the Georgia Texas game? Show that. Is that, can you pull that up?
Oh yeah, I can pull that up.
Let's just get, I mean, I know we got this million game. I'm just curious to see if you go to this Game Time.
I'll tell you what, if flights to that game are any indication, tickets are going to be ridiculous. Rusty, I can already see it. They start from $441. And as you can see, if you wanted to compare those two maps, there's a lot fewer tickets available.
Ooh, my lordness.
I'm looking at commas in there, Rusty.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You talking about loving your dogs and love. We got a Longhorn fan that came in tonight. That's a good way to stay in the chat. You came in and
hey, look at my seat. Georgia. Look at my seat right here for $7,500 right here.
Let me tell you something. For $7,500, you better be at least a fullback in the red zone and get one flat route to you for $7,500.
For $7,500, I'm going to need to share a flask with Matthew McConaughey.
Goodness. I just want to say, so look, you got all the different spectrums there, but GameTime.com or .co, we're good that you're supporting us. And I just wanted to give a quick sample size, you know, month out or whatever we are from that game. And a lot of football between now and then. I just know that ticket's going to be special after they just absolutely, what did you call it last week?
Seal Club.
They Seal Club Michigan. So
yeah, that one was – yeah. Somebody was like, yeah, it was 31-12. That's not too bad. And I was like, man, let me tell you what they did. They big brother put their knees on the shoulders and held them down until they stopped.
They Kirby Smart choked the life out of that second half when they tried to run that clock. So yeah,
that is 100% what happened.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. I want to say too, one thing about this, one thing about that game yesterday, I kind of want to finish up with this, not too much ahead of that. I had some recruits that went yesterday, and I talked to their parents yesterday. And the one thing I tell everybody, you know, until you see Georgia in person, you don't quite understand what they look like. You know what I mean? And we say it a lot, Jake, but this one of the kids that were there yesterday, he's going to be a power four, he's going to be a power four recruit. One of the first games he ever went to, and was texting with his parents today, and they're like, Rusty, Georgia, their entire team looks different than like anything I've ever seen. I was like, that's what Kirby Smart said in his first press conference. We got to get bigger on the offensive line, and we got to get bigger on the defensive line. And I just think it's kind of, you know, we're probably going to have some comments on people be interested. That's the first time you've been to take your grandkid, first time maybe you've ever been. To see Georgia in person is really kind of, it's shocking to say, Jake, you and I have been doing this long enough to know it doesn't kind of, we kind of understand it now. But when you see Georgia in person for the first time, you think, my goodness, where are they getting these human beings? And not only do they have them in the juniors and seniors, this is what the freshman and sophomore looks like. And the young man that I covered 2 weeks ago, Juan Gadsden at Westlake High School, who is a verbal commit to Georgia, he's 6'8", 350, 360 pounds. I mean, they have them. They've got young guys in behind them, and they got more coming. It's just amazing when you see it in person.
Rusty, I tell you, man, it's the thing that gets you is I'm used to the linemen. I'm used to the linemen, right? I'm used to kind of like, all right, you walk around on the field during pregame, noon game. If you stay in the right place, you can get in the shadow of one of those guys.
Yeah.
You can get some steps in inside of that shadow.
Yeah.
They are. I'm used to that. What I'm not used to, man, is every single time I see one of these linebackers, one of these 6'4 linebackers that they look like they weigh 190, and then you kind of see them from a different angle. I was like, that's 230-pound cat right there. That's a big man. Some of the linebackers that with extreme length. And, I was watching Jordan Thomas yesterday. He's not a linebacker. He's a defensive lineman. He's small. He's only 6'4", 6'5", 305 pounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the length, how long his arms are, and you just watch his, the way his hands, how big his hands are. They have recruited a different type of athlete there, and Matt Godwin talked about it, about the kind of the projectable traits, about the size and the length, and we've talked about Georgia kind of recruiting giant human beings that they can take weight off of as opposed to putting it on them. But I tell you what was really impressive yesterday was the size of that visitor list of guys that they had in town for it being a 2 o'clock game is so much better than noon, like a million.
Oh man, oh dude. For a kid, Friday night. For a kid that plays on Friday night.
Yeah.
So if you don't live within an hour of Athens, just say you're in DeKalb County, or say you're in Cartersville, or say you're in Carrollton, or say you're in Macon. You try to get to Athens, and so if there's a noon game, check-ins at 8:30 for recruits. 9:00, you're at the stadium at 10:30. You're watching dog walk, watching walkthrough. I think check-in yesterday started at 11 a.m., which is massive to get those recruits there, and I think that was a bigger deal. I always just kind of glimpse the recruiting section. Jeremy Johnson's got a recruit reaction piece from yesterday, did a good job, followed it up today. But I always look at that recruit section and go, okay, it's full, and it was full yesterday at 2 o'clock for kickoff. So, yeah, that's a massive deal for Georgia. Now, they only have one other noon game like that, what I would call. So, you got UMass later in the year. Which would be then toward the end of the year. So, you don't expect a crazy recruit list that first home game, Tennessee Tech, a little bit crisp yesterday. All those kids played Friday night, but yeah, they had a really good list. And Jake, I guess we can go ahead and I can dig into one or two names. Christian Gass, the Tennessee verbal commit, young man out of Eastside High School. Start talking about length. You brought it on the nail on the head there. 6'3", 220 pound outside linebacker. Dude's got like an 80 and a half inch wingspan, an inside backer for Georgia. Glenn Schumann's recruiting him. And you know, that guy down to Jordan, Tennessee, he chose Tennessee, but that was one of those ones I told, you know, the guys on Dog Days Q, don't really, this one's not over. I think Tennessee was in a good spot. I think Tennessee probably still is in a good spot with him. You know, I think I mentioned on the board at Tennessee, I think found out about this and kind of wasn't too happy. Like, hey, we don't want you doing that, but it's the way of the world now. And there's some communication there. There's some communication there with Georgia. So we'll see where that goes. You know, I'm not predicting he's flipping right now, but what I can tell you, and now that you see, there's still communication there. And, you know, Georgia getting him on campus, that never hurts.
Never. Mm-hmm. To follow those visits, there's a reason that's kind of become the mantra.
Now it is for sure with a 20. If you're a 25 committed elsewhere, if you're a senior right now, and most of these kids that we cover, Jake, they commit in the summer because they're done with it. But if you're committed somewhere and you go visit another school, prime example, what Rashad Johnson, the kid that decommitted on Georgia yesterday, committed to Texas A&M. Guess where he was last weekend? He was at Texas A&M. A week later, he decommits from Georgia and goes there. So, you know, there's a lot of things there. I mean, that's not the end of the world for Georgia. I think they kind of anticipated some things on that, and you know, they're gonna be okay at safety and some other guys are recruiting. But you know, if you're a 25 and you follow recruiting and you follow Dogs HQ and you're a subscriber to us, when Jeremy Johnson or Rusty Mansell or Steve Wilfong or Chad Simmons comes in and says, hey, this guy's going to be there this weekend, he's committed elsewhere, you probably didn't take that one serious.
Yeah, 100%. That's the way it goes this time of year. That's the way that's the full story. That's the full scope of it.
And Georgia's going to have this Auburn Mississippi State back-to-back, two SEC games. One of those two, Jake, would you be willing to bet one of those two is going to be at night?
Yeah,
I mean, they're not good. One of the two will be at night. I tend to I'm not going to say which one I lean because people get bent out of shape. One of those two, I'd be willing to bet it's going to be at night. And when you bring a night game into Athens, the list gets even better because you can get kids out of state. They can catch a flight in. They got time in the morning to get there. A game like that usually brings a lot deeper, you know, home visit list.
Tell you what, I'm already looking forward to Georgia and Tennessee in November. That's going to be one of those. That's going to be one of those. Hey, looking in the stands, see who shows up, try to figure it out. That'll
be one of those ones where Georgia turns kids away. They'll turn kids away. Like it'll be you're on a list at Georgia. If you're on that recruit list that day, then it's whatever class you're in, you're on their board for real. There'll be no Rusty Mansell sitting in those bleachers that night in the recruit list, I can assure you right now.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough to get on with your high school buddy right there. You know, your buddy.
You better be a dude.
Georgia Tennessee game back in the day with Matthew Thomas, and they don't let you get in them games anymore, I don't think.
You know who, and he may have never said this if he's never talked about it. He'll have to talk about it one day. You know who Chad Simmons rolled with?
Hines Ward.
He and Hines Ward were best friends in high school.
Yeah.
And that actually fueled Chad to Chad went through it with Hines, seeing all these coaches you know, Chad's dad was very involved with Hines and is a kind of a mentor type person with him. And you know, that you look at Chad and where he is in the world today and where he's been the last 20 years in recruiting, one of the best ever to do this. But seeing that fueled him to like, man, I really like this. I like to, you know, I'm fascinated by this. So Chad had to write down a book one day. He's got some great, great Hines Ward stories.
Yeah, I bet those are awesome. Somebody else awesome, Andy Ludeke over at My Perfect Franchise. Are you a displaced corporate executive or you want to put your career in your own hands? You could also be just an experienced entrepreneur and you want to diversify. Well, Andy Ludeke over at My Perfect Franchise can help you out. Andy's a huge college sports fan and a franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. Call Andy. Put your life, your career in your own hands. And best of all, his services are 100% free to you. What do you have to lose? Check out my man Andy Ludeke over at MyPerfectFranchise.net, and he's going to help you out. He's going to help you live your American dream. Let's look ahead to Kentucky here real quick, Rusty. Brock Vandegrift got his bell rung, got his cage rattled, got, you know, listen, a game that he would love to forget. And, you know, before I go any further, a lot of fans in Athens of Brock Vandegrift, not just up at Strickland's cafeteria-style restaurant up there in Bogart, where they love Brock Vandegrift and they love the Princeton Avenue what are they? What is Prince Avenue? They look like they got Michigan helmets.
The Prince Avenue.
I don't know what their mascot is.
Wolverines, I think.
Are they the Wolverines?
Yeah, I believe
we'll go with that. They love the Wolverines up there at
all my Prince Avenue friends. They'll be all over. Yeah, they're the Wolverines. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, they love them. And Brock Vandegrift's teammates love him too. And you can know for a fact that not this coming Saturday, they won't be rooting for him, but they will be the rest of them. Rusty did not look good against South Carolina for Brock or for any other Kentucky Wildcat. I tell you what, this early line is 21.5 points. And I got to give one of my guys a kudos on this. He called it the Port-a-John bet. When you don't want to bet against Georgia, you go to porta potty and sit down and make your bet so that nobody can see you make it. That cracked me up because on one hand, I get it. 21.5 points is a lot of points in Lexington, Kentucky. On the other hand, I don't know. I'd have a hard time betting on Kentucky because I don't know if they can keep it within 30 if they play like they did against South Carolina.
I think I'll have to go back and look. Somebody texted me today and said Bobo has been really, really good against Mark Stoops. I'll have to go back and look at this. That's something we can dig into. Last couple of times, they put up some massive amounts of points. I think even when he was at South Carolina, they put a bunch of good points. You look at Brock, just not great. Didn't look great. They couldn't block the two defensive ends at South Carolina. I mean, he had pressure all over the place. You kind of figure what's going on. You know, if you want to talk from the Kentucky side for one second, this ain't a get right game. This is get your teeth knocked in type game. So you look at what Georgia's facing this week, and there's not a player on Georgia's team, I guarantee you, have one bad thing to say about Brock Vandegrift, but they're going to be trying to get after his you-know-what, and then they can hug and bust the best of luck after this game. I know that, you know, when he left, his dad texted me and said he just had a very emotional conversation with Kirby Smart, and Kirby Smart basically told his dad, "It's one of the best kids I've ever been around, period, ever." You know what I mean? So there's a lot of respect for Georgia and Kirby Smart with Brock Vandegrift. And he's very tied into the Athens area, obviously, with his ties there with his dad at Prince Avenue Christian. So, you know, with that being said, I mean, they got a long way to go before they get some of this defense this week. I'll be interested in what they do, because I will say, we'll talk more about this game. They do have some playmakers on the outside. They have two wide receivers that I guarantee you every SEC team would take both of them. Right? I know Georgia would take both. And no question, Georgia would take both of these guys right now. So they've got some guys on the outside, but up front, man, they got issues. And then Brock, he looked a step behind yesterday. Just looking at him and knowing him since he was an eighth grader, you know, he looked dazed and confused yesterday. So we'll see where he is. But this is a tall, tall task for those guys going into this bunch.
You know, I'll tell you, Rusty, I think Georgia might be lucky they ain't got to play South Carolina this year. I mean, South Carolina's looking strong, man.
I tell you what, those two defensive ends.
I'm totally joking. That pass rush is ridiculous now.
Those two defensive ends. Oh, my goodness. Them two defensive ends they got, man.
I will say that. Like, I was just joking about that other part. I really was. But yeah, you're right. That pass rush there is absolutely no joke. With Dylan Stewart and kind of the way they had that going, that was really impressive. And I didn't give them any chance, really, of winning that game. I just didn't think that was, you know, really in their kind of wheelhouse, in their capability to beat Kentucky at Kentucky. At South Carolina, I may have, you know, given them more of a chance. But
me too.
Yeah, that was different.
Just don't know, man. I mean, it's early in the year, and everybody has week one reactions and all this and that, and you just kind of look at it. But boy, Kentucky just looked that's a very bad performance yesterday. And then what you're about to trot out there against he's more than two defensive ends. I mean, they're about to try out some, you know, they're about to try some dudes out there this week. So you look at 21.5, that I don't know, Jake. You start thinking, can Kentucky score 7 or 10? Can they get there? Because you think Georgia's gonna get their points, but we'll dig in this game more this week, but I think what can Kentucky take from yesterday to say, let's try this against Georgia this week? They got to be thinking, man. And we talked about it, kind of heard yesterday, the game day's at South Carolina for LSU. Had Kentucky won that game, I believe game day would have been in Lexington next week for this Georgia game.
Yep. And, we'll have it covered for you, man. We're really excited. You know, SEC opener, we'll get our first injury reports later on this week. That'll be pretty cool. Kind of get to see what that's going to look like. We're going to talk more about injuries as the week goes on. Just nothing really new there. Nate Frazier's okay. I believe Oscar Delp's going to be okay there as well. You know, may miss a little bit of time. It's starting to get to that point in the season, Rusty, where you're starting to talk about Warren Brinson and Jordan Hall and Xavier McLeod and those guys maybe trying to get back into the mix here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And so, you know, we're starting to get to kind of a Georgia maybe getting healthy. We got Dogs HU Plus coming up tomorrow night. I'm going to talk about we got a lot to talk about here on Dogs HU Plus tomorrow. I'm sorry, Tuesday morning. But when that comes out on Tuesday morning, I have an idea of what Kentucky's going to try to do to Georgia. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some scoops, some stuff going on in recruiting. Rusty had a big note over at Dogs HQ today that we're going to get to on Dogs HQ Plus and so much more. We'll be back with you with the Georgia show later on this week on Thursday to preview the game. But for this one, that's all we got. Y'all have a great week.